Employee Compensation and Retirement Modernization Commission came away from its huge task with a mixed bag of recommendations. Some of the 15 suggestions the experts revealed Thursday were obvious changes that people believe have been necessary for decades. Others are going to cause heartburn among military service members, retirees, and their families, and maybe on Capitol Hill, too. Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller is here talking about why the commission believes all of them are not only necessary but achievable. What's the background? Refresh us about this commission. They've been at this for a while, but what was the point when they originally began?
You're absolutely right, Francis. They've been working on this for about 18 months. Now, remember, Congress created the commission. The White House and the Defense Department chimed in with ideas and overall structure. And really, over the last year and a half, the commission got feedback from more than 150,000 active and retired service members. They traveled to 55 military installations around the country, around the world, and met with every major military and veteran organization. They really did their homework to come up with these recommendations. Alfonso Maldon is the chairman of the commission. He says all nine members were in unanimous agreement with the recommendations.
We've said many times before that this is not a cost-cutting drill, that our efforts were not to go out to cut costs. Rather, what we've done is we've focused on reforms that could modify the structure of the compensation programs in a way that would bring about effectiveness and efficiency for those programs and provide us with an opportunity to protect the benefits or to maintain those benefits or improve those benefits for the service members.
Now, Maldon spoke yesterday at a press briefing on the recommendations that they released that happened in Arlington, Virginia. Now, the commission focused on trying to answer three specific questions. How best they can ensure DOD delivers the intended benefits to service members, their families, retirees? How best to make sure DOD is delivering the benefits in an effective manner? And what is the clear path to modernize these services? So from their research, the commission made some recommendations that just made sense. These are the obvious ones. Let me just give you a couple, Francis. One of them is ending the DOD program that gives assistance in the way of food stamps to service members. Instead, the idea is to have those who need extra help to sign up for the USDA SNAP program. Bob Daigle is the executive director of the commission. He says only 285 service members were using the DOD food stamp program in 2013, and they could easily move to the USDA SNAP program and even get more benefits. Daigle says another obvious one is streamlining the commissaries and exchanges.
Right now, commissary patrons get groceries at cost plus a 5% surcharge. The recommendation is to maintain that, but to gather some efficiencies in the back office functions by combining the commissaries and the exchanges into one organization with a single manager.
Now, one more I'll mention is the commission that says they want to let the GI Bill, the Montgomery GI Bill specifically, sunset. Daigle says the post-9/11 GI Bill is more generous. And, of course, the Montgomery GI Bill, I had to look this up, 1973. So it's 42 years old. I think it's maybe time. It's probably got its value.
Well, and especially if it's been superseded by the post-9/11 GI Bill, if that's better, move as many people as you can to that one. What are some of the recommendations that will be more difficult to get agreement on outside this commission?
Yeah, there are a bunch of them that I think are going to either, A, people are going to get upset about, or B, at least make them feel a little bit uneasy. Let me start with the big one that's received a lot of attention over the last day and a half. The commission recommends changing how members of the National Guard and Reserves, family members of service members, and non-Medicare eligible retirees get insurance. Daigle says the goal would be to give these groups more options in the healthcare market and eliminate a hole in the coverage when members of the Guard or Reserve are called up to active duty.
TRICARE for Life, on the other end of the spectrum, remains unchanged. Medicare-eligible retirees would continue to have access to TRICARE for Life. In the intervening period, for the family members, again, Guard and Reserve, and the non-Medicare-eligible retirees, they would have access to a menu of private sector insurance plans. For the active-duty family members, there would be a new basic allowance for health care that's created that compensates the family members for the costs of the private sector insurance. That includes both the premiums for the private sector insurance and expected out-of-pocket costs.
Now, this change would not impact, and let me say not impact, active-duty service members. They still would use TRICARE. Nothing would change for them. Daigle says families, Guard and Reserve members, non-Medicare-eligible retirees would not get put, and again, I'm going to repeat this again, Francis, not get put on the Federal Employee Health Benefit Program. In fact, DOD would have to create an entirely new insurance market, one that where the plans would accept their coverage from as part of military treatment facilities. So if you went to a military treatment facility, that would be covered by the insurance. Or if you went to your doctor around the corner, private sector, that too could be covered. Now, the second hot button issue is around guaranteed retirement payments. First off, the commission would reduce the percentage of pay that, let's say, a 20-year veteran would receive at retirement to 40% of their annual pay for life from 50%, so a 10% reduction. But the commission would substitute the lost money by doing three things. First, after 12 years, the service member would get a cash payment or a retention bonus that could be put toward their retirement. Second, the service member from the day they sign up for the military would be enrolled in the Thrift Savings Plan, where 3% of their pay would be invested. Now, of course, this is an automatic enrollment. You could probably do more than 3%. You could do less than 3%. But they just took basically the average 3%.
Yes.
Third, the government would also invest in the TSP on behalf of the service member. Daigle offers this example to show what the difference it would make. So someone, let's say an E7 in the military who retires after 20 years, and they have a defined benefit annuity. Under the old system, 50% of their annual pay for life, they'd get around $201,000. Under the new system, 40%, they would get, as part of their defined benefit annuity, $161,000. But with the TSP, the retention bonus, and the government's contribution, that same E7 under the new system would get about $248,000. So in the end, they'd get almost $50,000 more than they would have under the current plan.
You're spreading the retirement benefit to a larger portion of the force. Right now, somewhere between 17 and 19% of the force actually reaches 20 years of service and benefits from the current retirement plan. Under the proposed retirement plan, 75% of the force would get retirement assets.
Now, in all these 15 recommendations, the committee says would save about the government about $12.5 billion a year. We have a link to the full report, all the data right there on federalnewsradio.com for you to see. And one other thing about this, Francis, again, I'm going to repeat what Alfonso Maldon said, the chairman of the commission. The goal was not to cut costs, but to modernize the retirement benefit systems and make them more efficient. And in the end, hopefully save some money, but modernization and efficiency.
So the important thing here is not so much what we think about it, but they have 535 people they have to impress, a majority of at least, on Capitol Hill. What kind of reaction are we getting from them? And what kind of reaction are we getting from the groups that will either fight for or against this in Capitol Hill?
It's interesting. As the reactions came yesterday, most of them were very positive, but almost everyone seemed to be coming from the same point. We appreciate the commission's hard work. We're going to review these recommendations closely. Mm-hmm. And that's all you got. No positives or negatives, which I think really means no one really wants to tip their hand yet know what they really think. I mean, these recommendations, there's a draft report. They've talked about them. You had people on your show. Tom had people on his show over the last year and a half talking about these recommendations. I think people saw the handwriting on the wall, but nobody really wants to talk about how they really feel. Mm-hmm. President Obama said he'll work with civilian and military leaders and lawmakers to look at the recommendations and potentially implement some of them. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says while the commission proposals will not impact the 2016 budget request, due out Monday as a reminder, they will help inform the negotiations over the next year. Hagel also says he appreciates the commission's support for grandfathering current service members and retirees with its recommended changes in retirement pay. Hagel says he also appreciates the fact that they're trying to protect the future recruitment and retention process and look at ensuring that the workforce, the military force, is still agile and modern. Congressman Mac Thornberry, another key figure here, he's the chairman of the Armed Services Committee. He says he will review the recommendations and keep a keen eye on how they'll affect the military's ability, again, to recruit and retain qualified individuals. And then finally, let me just offer you one organization, the Military Officers Association, say that they are pleased with the commission's final report that they've released it. Their main concern right now is the health and the welfare of the all-volunteer force. Again, their concern goes back to retention of experienced, high-quality, mid-grade NCOs and officers, and that's from retired Vice Admiral Norb Ryan, President and CEO of MOA. So again, we have a link to the full report. You can see it for yourselves, federalnewsradio.com.